Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Thanks for being with us again today. We do appreciate it every time you tune in to catch this wonderful show that we put together. And it takes literally hours and hours of dedicated, a staff of 15, putting this thing together. And we bring it to you, so sit back, get comfortable. We've got, needs an introduction, but Steve Johnson, Director of Instruction at Vaquero Country Club in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, will be joining us here shortly. Tour Championship right up around the corner. A little bit after that is Ryder Cup. Teams being picked already. Some guys are on both sides. We have the question about who's going to be the captain's picks on both sides. So a lot of stuff to get into today. Thanks again for being with us. As always, Frank Bassett in the ever-heating up Nashville studio. How you doing, Frank? Did you make it through yesterday's round of golf?
Man, it was the hottest round of golf I've ever played, and I'm talking heat hot. It was unbelievable. Really? I literally took my whole cup of ice water and just poured it over my head.
Not to play? I mean, was there a point that just said maybe this wouldn't be a good idea?
Well, we all looked at each other and said, "You want to just quit?" And a couple of guys said, "No," because they were ahead, of course. Well, they lost.
Now, so, was it a Memphis kind of a heat? Is this what we're talking about?
Oh, yeah, it was brutal. Yeah, it was brutal. It was, we were like 98 degrees, whatever, and 79%, 80% humidity. So we were at 110, 112, whatever.
Yeah.
It was awful, but I played good. So,
but you made it through.
The ball goes a long way in that kind of heat, too. Really travels.
Especially when you get to it and kick it a few more yards. Well, you know what? A guy who's living in the heat, let's get to him right away because he's an important guy. He's got a lot of stuff going on over there at Vaquero Country Club. And as Director of Instruction, Steve Johnson joining us. Hey, Stevie, Ray J, how you doing today?
Hey, guys. Hey, it's good to be off probation and back on the air with you guys.
Yeah, we let you suffer for a little bit. We brought you back.
Speaking of probation, never mind. We're not going down that rabbit hole or foxhole or whatever you call it, but we did have an incident with the former PGA Tour or a PGA Tour player, you guys well know, Eric Compton. Yeah, got in a little bit of trouble, got a little upset.
I didn't hear. I've been out of pocket. Yeah. What happened?
Tell me what happened. I don't know it either.
Oh, he got into a little spat with his wife, and somebody hit somebody, and then he grabbed her cell phone and threw it into the pool. Well, that's a felony because he was.
What?
Yes, that's a felony because he inhibited her from being able to call for help. That's what it's called. Wow. I can't think of the name they used, but it's a big charge. So domestic violence and a felony on top of it. So
you'll have to forgive me for. What era is this guy? Who are we talking about here?
Eric Compton's the guy that he's had the three brain transplants or heart transplants. Heart transplants.
Jesus. Dr. Frankenstein.
He needs a brain transplant.
Doctor.
The three heart transplants.
Oh, he's kind of a heartwarming story. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, that's why it was so sad.
Turned sideways. Wow.
It really is. It's all over the intranet.
But you know what? Guys, the thing is when Frank brings it up and you talk about domestic violence, you always think of the man. But I mean, there's a great example back in play at the Players. Yeah, absolutely. At the Players Championship. Gosh darn it, I forget his name.
Lucas Glover's wife
beat the crap out of him, I guess. Yeah.
Hit him, but worse than that, mother stepped in and said something. They were at Ponte Vedra Club. And mom stepped in and said, "Don't do that," or "Don't hit my child," or "Don't act like that." And she clobbered mom. And then the St. Johns County Deputy Sheriff, the Sheriff's Office, arrested her. A really sad thing. Now, she's since stopped her drinking, and she and Lucas, they're doing great together, and everything's going really good. So, bad things happen.
Some people have, can't hold their liquor is one thing. It leads to a lot of it. Other people just have temper, anger management issues. So, it can happen, men or women. Yeah. I think, not that we're going to get into this, but men oftentimes are not going to report that, as we kind of know.
Right? No.
I mean, unless it's something way over the top or in public, there's an embarrassment part probably. It shouldn't be there, but it is that, I'm not going to say, "Hey, my wife beat the snot out of me, so come get her." Yeah. So anyway, unfortunate to hear, but good to hear that in the Glover situation. Boy, everything's working away.
I'll tell you what, boys, I'll never steal a box of Girl Scout cookies again. That's the worst beating I ever got. So never mind.
Hey, Stevie, let me ask you this. So we got a lot of things we got to dive into. I'm going to start with the Jay Monahan news conference at Eastlake, getting ready for the Tour Championship. Monahan yesterday meets with the media and goes on about how, and I don't know how else he's going to frame this, but how perfect the situation is, and the Live Tour thing is still alive. They're going to put it together, and when it all does come together and finalized, it will be all in great favor for the PGA Tour, blah, 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 going on and on and on. Are you buying into this? Are you believing that this is indeed the best thing for the PGA Tour, or is he just have to, does he just have to make the best of this situation after ripping on the Live Tour for over a year, that now this is the best scenario and he has to put a good face on it?
Yeah, I think this is his only path. His only path, because, I mean, back when the Congress got involved in this and had opinions, hey, can't you guys find other investors? I'm sure there's other investors. Well, the thing is, they're going head to head with another rival group. So if they try to find other investors, then the Liv will sue again. You know, I mean, there's always going to be a back and forth. The only way to put this thing to bed is just to try to find a good deal where they can live, you know, or live together or live peacefully apart. I mean, that's the only path. Now, the PGA Tour, Jay Monahan, I mean, he made some really strategic errors at the start, I think, Tim. You know, the PGA or the USGA and the RNA and Augusta National approached it correctly. When asked about the Live and the PGA Tour, they were saying, hey, we're going to do what's in best interest of golf. That should have been Jay Monahan's. That should have been his path as well. But he took a different path. These guys are bad people. Sports washing. You know, tried to make them into the villain. Intimidated all the players. Players are not going to forget this stuff. I'm waiting for the press conference when he resigns is what I'm waiting for. I don't know if that'll ever happen. But I think that'll be a good day for the PGA Tour. At least give the players some leadership that they can trust. They can't trust this guy anymore. So to answer your question, I think it's all just bullshit. His press conference, he's trying to remedy a bad path that he took at the start is what he's trying to do.
Yeah. Frank, what are your thoughts on it? That's kind of what we've been talking about for the last few weeks while all this has kind of died down a bit after the announcement and Jay taking time off, which I'm not going to say the word coward, but it's like he faced the music. He got confronted by a lot of players, very angry, a lot of pushback, and suddenly he was gone for 6 or 8 weeks, and then came back.
He was gone for good reason. He was gone for good reason. I mean, there is a medical situation that he did have, and I have some information on that I really don't want to discuss on the air. But he did.
Well, I mean, Frank, why bring it up then?
Well, I didn't bring it up. Y'all brought this one up.
You said medical condition. So divulge. Come on. This is
it was stress related to what was going on, right?
Well, it was related to a condition that he's had for years, to be honest. And
Do we believe that?
I do believe it. Yeah.
Really? And it just happened to rear its head the week
after
that.
All the stress exacerbated that.
I'll just say this. I'm not going to say anything about what Jay had, but if you don't sleep well ever and have sleep deprivation syndrome, it causes all sorts of other issues, health issues inside your body. And then when stress is piled on top of stress, that really sends it over the edge. So let's leave it at that, because really don't want to talk about somebody's health, you know, health stuff outside of just the fact that it really was real. I mean, in fact, it was real. Yeah. So now that being said, I don't agree with some of the decisions the man made. No, I'm along the same lines as you guys. He took the path of making them the evil Satan, and you can't do that. That's that draws that line right down the middle and says either you're with us or you're against us. And that's not the way the world works in business anymore. It just doesn't work that way.
That's the way the PGA Tour has worked for many, many years. It's they say the players, it's by the players, it's of the players. But when it comes down to it, there's very few people making decisions for these players. And this was just a classic case of, hey, this has happened before, I'm sure, where a decision's made and no one knows until that decision's already been made. And they say, hey, this is in the best interest of the of the tour, which it may be. I mean, I don't know. It may be. I tell you what, I saw my first live event 2 weeks ago and at Bedminster up in New Jersey. And I thought it was pleasant. I liked watching.
I told you guys this when I went in October of last year. It was great. I went to Doral for their final. And it was great. Golf was being played. It was very competitive, a lot of fun. It's not just a rowdy, drunken brawl party like people have kind of played it out to be. It's real golf. They may be in shorts, but it's still real golf.
Yeah, well. By the way, so Monahan, in addition to all the other things he's talking about yesterday about what's going on and how they're putting this whole thing together, did also say that this is all being done without any input from the players, that the players are not in the process of this. So doesn't it seem like maybe the tour has not learned anything? I mean, the players went kind of ape over the fact that what happened? Nobody told me. And now he's literally saying, well, we're still talking and we're still working this whole thing out without player input. Isn't he going to just put himself back in the same position and the tour in the same position of, as Steve said, the lack of trust?
Well, I mean, is this Tiger Woods deal? I mean, Tiger Woods being on the board, is the board aware of what's going on? Because it's very easy to, if the board's involved in it, then for the information to get flowed down to the players, at least the ones that are significant influencers.
He said negotiations are private and he could not reveal to the media, are private, couldn't reveal the details and not even to the players is what he said. So not only I can't reveal it to you, the media, but we're not revealing to the players. And again, as you said, is it a tour for the players, of the players? That's kind of how I think they see it. And here we go down this road. So not to, you know, beat the drum over and over again,
left it kind of ambiguous, I think. He didn't say that the player advisory board or, you know, Tiger and company, the six players that are on that board, he didn't say if they were or weren't involved. They're the representatives. It's like Washington. We elect these people. They go up there, and they don't tell us everything they're doing either. But were they involved? And Steve asked that question, a good question. He never answered that, nor was it ever asked.
I don't know. I mean, go ahead, Steve.
Steve?
9/11, I forget his name.
Oh, Steve, you went away. You better start again on that.
Uh-oh, hang on. Hello?
Yep.
You got me?
Hello.
You're here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Frank, can you hear me now?
Frank keeps putting me on mute, Tim. There's got to be a violation there.
It's a violation. Yeah.
Maybe it's because I keep interrupting. That's why. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Good.
Don't put me on mute anymore, though.
Okay.
The one of the guys on the board said, hey, you know what? Negotiations are best when they're quick and they're confidential. So one of the things, I didn't see the press conference. I saw Jay Monahan on there, but I didn't get the audio. I think the players are going to be brought up for player approval, at least the board's approval. So negotiations are one thing, something, and that's where Jay got in trouble. He agreed to structure or some format of a deal with Liv without player knowledge or approval. And that's where he got himself into some hot water. You know, I mean, that's where the trust was broken. So I think negotiations being private, I can understand that. But before they make a decision, I'm sure there's a chance to have some input.
And, sure.
They say, hey, this is the deal that's on the table right now. We think this is good for the PGA Tour, and this is why. These are the reasons I think that this is the best path. And then just give it to the players, if it's truly their organization. Another thing, too. Hey, why don't we just really make these guys independent contractors and say, hey, you can play anywhere you want, and we'll try to provide you with the best views and the best events, and we hope that you come to our event.
Could be.
I mean, that's truly an independent contract. They won't do that. There's no way.
Right. Which is why that's kind of a misnomer when people say that. You know, well,
yeah,
they
exactly.
can. You know why? Because of the advertisers, the supporters of the tournaments,
sponsors.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose so. But it's like, but so who keeps saying that though? I mean, that phrase keeps coming out. Independent contractors. Well, you're not, because if you were, as Steve said, you'd be able to go play European Tour, you go play an Asian Tour, you go play Live Tour if you want, go play over here. But as seems to be the way it goes in business. If we make it most attractive to you, then you'll come play mostly with us.
Well, PGA that's Tour. Right. They make the rules. Exactly. They make the rules. Right. You're an independent contractor, but here's the rules by which you must abide if you want to be on our tour. Right.
Which is why the government got involved, right?
Part of
it was grandstanding. Part of it was grandstanding, but part of it was, okay, well, you can't be both. You can't say these guys are free to do whatever they want, but as soon as they leave, you penalize them. Which brings me to another question for both you guys. And again, we're joined by Steve Johnson, who keeps diving in and out of a well somewhere at Vaquero Country Club. Just stay put, Steve. Quit moving around. I don't know what you're doing over there, but just sit still.
Boy,
I'm sitting here, man. I'm tied up here.
Is Tim grumpy today or what?
he's giving lessons while we're talking.
The heat's gotten to Tim too, and he's about to take a little leave of absence.
In my own brain. Yeah, absence in my own brain. So let me ask you this. So it comes to the LIV Tour, and they're even saying, and we'll kind of move on to another subject after this, but they're still talking about, will there be payments to be made? Like, right, will the guys who didn't leave get some money? And will the guys who did leave have to pay some money to come back, which I find absurd on both sides. I think you just go, hey, it's a wash. Let's move forward. Is it realistic that Phil Mickelson is going to write $1 million check or some amount of money to be able to get back on the PGA Tour from the LIV Tour? Is that even realistic? Those guys, Koepka and those guys would do that?
Well, if he can borrow it from Billy Walters, he will.
Phil just has to put money on the Chargers game next week.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying, though, Steve? I mean, doesn't it seem ridiculous you chose to do what you wanted to do? Why owe money or not owe money?
Yeah, my guess is that there won't be a cash payment back to the PGA Tour. Although that's what they've been talking about. You know, the guys made decisions. They made business decisions, like a true independent contractor. You know, just to put an end or to put this to bed, this independent contractor deal, as an employer of teachers, as independent contractors, and of employees in my facility, there's like a 28-point test to determine if someone's really an independent contractor. If they don't meet that criteria, then they're employees. And I'm surprised that the PGA Tour is not concerned about, you know, the restrictions and the, you know, they've got to get approvals to if they don't want to play events that are not PGA Tour sanctioned events. They don't even come close to living up to that independent contractor 28-point test.
And you're talking about the federal government. That the 28 points is a federal government document. Yeah.
Right. Because employees do have rights,
Employees
have rights.
That was always an issue. That's always been an issue in corporations. When we had in my other companies, I wanted to have people as independent contractors, and the CEO said, "Frank, you're going to get us, you know, wiped out. You can't do that. They're employees,
no benefits because, and things like that.
Yeah, because you're demanding of their time. They have to be here at 8 o'clock. They have to leave. You can't, you know. And that's one of the tests. Do they have fixed hours? Do they have this? Yeah."
Right.
Okay, so let me move on to the Tour Championship and go back little bit.
Can we stop for a second?
Sure. You want to take a break?
No.
Oh, what?
I want to talk about real quick, just briefly. Did any of y'all catch the Payne Stewart Award ceremony last night?
I did not. Gary Koch. No.
Gary Koch, yeah. The guy that you absolutely are tired of hearing better than most.
Never understood how anybody thinks that is such a great call in the world of sports, but go ahead. Yeah.
Well, it was.
Beats me down.
It was a pure. I mean, they talked about how wonderful the PGA Tour is, how much money they've donated to charities, how much the Player Foundation. It was a pure infomercial last night, almost.
Was it?
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
They were really. I mean, you could tell that they were raising the banner of the PGA Tour, trying to put it in a different light.
Yeah. I think that's part of what they're doing now, right? I mean, I think if you even go to their website and everything else, it's all pro. You know, look at great. They kind of are having to put up a great face for what's going on. And by the way, not diminishing Payne Stewart, great award. And these guys do great things off the golf course. And everything. So I'm not saying that at all. And a great tribute to Payne Stewart. I'm just saying that they even did it in the commercial, right? They kept showing the commercial about him winning the Payne Stewart. They kept referencing better than most. I'm like, oh God, who's telling them to Is it just going to me personally and in my brain that I can't deal with this stuff? Anyway,
that was my point, is that it was,
good to Gary Cope.
Again, the PGA Tour is putting on a happy, happy, happy face.
Yeah, kind of have to, don't they?
Yeah.
But in all fairness, Frank, in all fairness, the PGA Tour has done a lot of great things for the communities.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
You know, building awareness of
raise a lot of money.
Autism. And I mean, there's so many things. Raising money for charities that we've never, ever heard of, you know, that really depend on those dollars to help kids and help people that need it. I tend to be very critical just of this whole Jay Monahan deal, but I mean, the PGA Tour has done a lot of great things.
No doubt. I agree 100%
with that. I would agree with that. Now, having said that, going back to last week, was it the best round both you guys have ever seen almost by Victor Hovland? I mean, just a phenomenal round in the conditions that he was in, that he shoots a 61 when he had to win the BMW with everything on the line, including Ryder Cup for him and everything else going on. Just an amazing round of golf, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And it just shows you, Tim, how hard it is to win when you're leading. I mean, there are so many guys that the pressure is off you when you're back a little bit. And if you can post a score like Victor Hovland did, phenomenal round. I mean, it didn't even sound like he could believe it, what he did.
Shot a 28 on the back nine.
Well, yeah, and that was a little bit soft. The year before, 4 under, tied for win, you know, and he shoot 17 under par. It's crazy.
Yeah.
How good those guys are too, and how deep the PGA Tour is, even though they've lost some players. There's great players everywhere. And he's not the type of his game. When you watch his game, it doesn't look like the type of game you want to emulate, but man, I'm telling you what, he gets it done.
Frank, do you think he won it, or do you think Scotty blew it? Even though Scotty didn't
think
play
he won
horribly,
it. No,
but he didn't make
it.
Any putts.
No.
You think he won it?
Yeah. Hands down, he won it. He went after it and got it. Yeah. Nope, he won it.
Scotty couldn't make a putt.
Well, Scotty hadn't been able to make a putt for a long time.
What's going on with that? Steve, you're the instructor.
Talk to Steve.
I mean, what's happened? Yeah.
But, you know, there's certain guys like when a guy had his putt, you think, man, that didn't even have a chance to go in. Every putt he hits and rolls looks like it's going in. It's the right speed. The line is off just a little bit, but I mean, even the ones he's missing right now are just burning the lips. And I think it's just a matter of time. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes this week and he makes a bunch of putts. Woods is a great example for consistency. Tiger he very rarely changed putters. Now Scotty's changing putters almost every week. Right. I don't think that's the path he needs to go down. He's got a good stroke. He's a good putter. He's gone through a spell lately. Like when Jordan Spieth started missing putts, you could tell that there were some putts that they didn't start on the right line. They weren't the right speed. Scotty reacts like he looks like he thinks he's going to make every one. And I'm telling you what, it looks like he's going to make every one.
Do you think
that
he has the Ricky Fowler syndrome here? No, Ricky had eye issues. With I think it was an astigmatism or a cataract, whatever it was. Do you think maybe Scotty needs to get his eyes checked?
Maybe, but I don't know. But I just think I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back this week and he makes everything.
I would be, because he hasn't yet. Okay. I mean, here we are in August and he hasn't. And he keeps getting top fives. He's playing great, but he's not getting wins because he's not making the putts. And he made. I mean, let's think of it. He did, as well as Hovland played. If Scotty makes even over the course of the weekend, two or three more putts, he wins. I mean, it's all it took. He was that close to it, but he's not getting that done. And here's a philosophy I have. A guy asked me about this. He said, what's going on? I said, we talk every week, me and my friends, about Rory not making putts. Spieth even missing putts, who's supposed to be, but he misses way too many putts. John Rahm, you saw him on Saturday? He missed like an 18-inch putt. On and on. I know I could be isolated, but I'm saying in a general sense, a lot of these guys are not phenomenal putters, and yet they're the top guys constantly. Rory misses a bunch of putts. So my thinking is, just like Tiger kind of changed the methodology of golf, saying, okay, heck with the hit it straight, hit it safe, hit it shorter, but in the fairway, he said, blast it. Let's just blast. And now everybody's doing it. Just blast it down there, and we'll play it from wherever it lies because we're getting another 50 yards. We'll be in the rough. Doesn't matter. I kind of wonder, do guys grow up now not thinking that putting is such an integral part of it, that they're watching and saying, well, look at how great these players are, and they're not making a bunch of putts, but Scotty is number one in the world. He's number one of the FedEx Cup. He does this. He's made $15 million. He's all these things, and Rory and all the other guys, without being great putters, are we losing that as a skill set, Steve? Is it something that they're going, you know what, no. I'll work on my putting down here, but I'm going to do other things and not really focus on my putting, whether it's reading lines, whatever it might be. They just don't see, who's a great putter right now? Even the guy that they'd say, maybe Spieth is so streaky, but he's also, he misses a boatload of putts.
They're all great putters. They're all great putters. You look at putts per green, and every one of them's under two. A lot of the guys put 1.4, 1.5. I mean, these guys are making a lot of putts. The ones that we see them miss are the ones that the guys that are up toward the top, because they flash to guys on the golf course, and they flash to these other guys that are not the marquee players, are not up on the top page of the leaderboard, Tim, and they show these guys making putts. I mean, these guys are averaging under 30 putts a round. I mean, they're great putters. Now, a guy like Will Zalatoris has serious issues with his putting, but when he's on, he's right up there. I mean, he's not one of the best. Rory, same thing. Hey, he's a guy's a terrible putter. Rory is not a terrible putter. You're comparing him against guys that are.
I'm not saying terrible. I'm just saying to be elite, that doesn't seem to be a real skill set that is appreciated anymore. I mean,
that's the observation.
Everybody asks me the same questions. How come these guys can't putt?
The greens are so severe in terms of break and speed. You can putt up. There's a speed that the ball will be accepted by the hole, a finite speed for that 4.25-inch cup. If the ball is going a certain speed, if it hits the cup, it will go in. That putt on certain situations on the golf course is going to send the ball on certain situations 5, 6, 7 feet by the hole. When the ball is rolling slowly, and like you see this with Scotty, I mean, every putt is only going about between 12 and 18 inches by. On some of those putts, the ball is rolling so slowly that it gets affected by the imperfections of the green, Tim. So, I mean, that's one of the things that Tiger was so courageous at when he was inside of 6 feet. He would putt the ball at the right speed, which if he did miss it, it would go 5 feet by and then he'd make it coming back. Yeah. We can't get the flavor of how severe these greens are. I was just at the USGA Senior Open, and I thought, okay, oh my gosh, if we hit this one a little bit too hard, this could roll all the way off the green. There's very few rounds of golf in country club or private golf situations where the player is thinking about, oh, if I hit this one a little bit too hard, I could roll it down the hill off the screen. It's a totally different mindset, and it's a totally different skill set when those greens get fast and firm. And that's what we're seeing. I mean, these things are rolling. You know, they say they're rolling 12, 13, 14. On certain situations, when it's downhill, these things are rolling 20.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get it to stop.
And tournament pin placements, you know, tournament pin placements.
Yeah, exactly.
Brutal.
They're tough. You know, they don't want the players to just, just tear the golf course up. The pin placements are very difficult. I think they're all great putters. If you get to that level, you're not an average putter.
Well, when you said Zalatoris had some issues, I mean, when you say someone, let's don't pick on him, let's say anybody, what's the most common putting error that you see as, you know, one of the top instructors in the world?
Well, I mean, when you get the putting yips, like Lucas Glover has really taken the lid off of saying the yips. I mean, he knew what he had, and he wasn't afraid to say it. I mean, I think that's the first step you need to take in order to fix a problem is realize that, hey, there's an issue here.
You know, Lucas stands up in a room and says, I'm Lucas, and I have the yips.
Exactly.
That's the first step.
I'm 72 holes with yip free.
So, I'm trying to get
I got
there.
A coin.
I'm trying but, to get there.
You know, guys would just say, hey, it's
what are the yips?
There are pressures of the game.
What are the yips?
Most of the yips are directional yips, and it's the lack of control of the club face. And I can speak I can speak knowledgeable about this because I'm not going to say I'm a victim, but I've had it, and you never know when it's going to come up. And it's always in a situation where you know you're going to yip it even before you step up there for the putt. There's some things that you can work. There are workarounds for it. It's not a death sentence. For those that are listening to this podcast, any player that uses some type of exotic saw grip, left hand low, looking at the hole, broomstick, Bernard Longer, technique. Anyone that's doing that has some type of issue that they can't fix with conventional, right hand low, left hand high, for a traditional right handed putting stroke. They're all looking to get that edge. And when that edge is gone conventional, the guys that do the best are the guys that are looking for alternative workarounds for their problem. And a lot of it, Frank, is just the control of the club face. I mean, Dave Pell says, hey, the club face is 7 times more important than the path. But how many people are out there just working on the path of their stroke rather than just trying to get that club face? You watch the ball on the green, and most of the players use a line. That ball is rolling end over end over end. That line is just, you can see the line the whole time. The line is not wobbling. Those players are hitting the very back of the ball. They're not hitting the near side of the ball. They're not hitting the far side of the ball. And that is not path. That's club face. So they have tremendous control of the club face.
So what would you agree or disagree that when a lot of amateurs say, well, I'm 6'3", I need a 35.5-inch putter. A lot of people are playing putters that are too long for them, and therefore they're bringing in more club face era. Would that be a fair statement? Or
It may be. I think a lot of the players now you see are using the big mallet type heads because the manufacturer can move the weight around to stabilize that club head.
Yeah.
MOI, moment of inertia, is the resisting of the club face twisting on off center hits. The MOI on heavy headed putters, on back weighted putters, is really high. So you can hit the ball all over the club face and still the face is not going to twist. We're seeing a lot of players go with that. If you've got putting issues and you're not putting with some putter that has a huge MOI, you're heading down the wrong path. And you see the guys with issues. I mean, look at Scotty. He was Scotty Cameron, traditional Anser type ping look on his putter. Now he's using a mallet putter.
Big mallet, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Rory McIlroy, mallet.
Yeah, Rory changed, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. In Dustin Johnson, same thing. I mean, and these guys have had periods of good. I mean, they're all, like I say, they're all great putters, but they've had periods where they make the ones that really count, and that's why they're the champions that they are.
I'm actually waiting for someone to come up with a wedge that's kind of like the old Prince rackets, Frank. Remember Prince tennis rackets?
I knew it was coming up sooner or later.
I want a huge head about the size of a Prince racket for
it's
my
a
wedges.
Shovel. Yeah. A shovel.
I'm not developing one right now, Tim. It has a push cart that you have in a grocery store. I've got wheels at the bottom of the club that you're just going to be able to roll that thing along.
There you go. There.
It's in the development stages right now.
Patent pending.
That might be. I'm gonna have a shopping cart with a little wedge on front. Two hands and I roll it towards it. That might work.
It's like one of those snow blowers or snow pushers.
Okay. Hey, we're joined by Steve Johnson, Director of Instruction at Vaquero Country Club in Westlake, suburb of Dallas-Fort Worth area, north of Fort Worth there. Beautiful, beautiful Discovery Land property that Steve's been at now for a few months now, right? 6 months or so, Steve?
Since March. It's like Disneyland out here. I've been part of public golf for so long. Being part of a private golf experience, a club, is... It's the greatest.
Yeah. Well, it's an amazing facility that is undergoing, you guys are going to be open. You're undergoing a lot of renovations on the course. So it's not till next spring that you'll be fully open.
We will be sometime this year, in the fall, we'll be open to a certain extent. And Andrew Green is the redesigner, and it looks great. It looks like, if any of you watched the PGA Championship at Oak Hill, There's a lot of looks that are very similar. Looks nice. Yeah, it looks like
it's a beautiful facility that there. Okay, so let's, before we let you go, Steve, talk a little bit about Ryder Cup and the teams being picked, whatnot, and it's all happening, literally happening around us. Go ahead. Did you have something?
I've tied the loop on this thing. Have we given up on the fact that Justin Thomas is he still being considered, or do we?
I think so. Well, that's what we'll talk about, Frank, and you can give us your insight too. But the American team has got qualifiers already, which would be Scotty, Wyndham Clark is already there, Brian Harman. Now these are first timers too, even though they're veteran guys. We've heard their names. First timers for Ryder Cup. Cantlay's in. Homa's in, making his debut as well. Xander Schauffele in as well. So those are the guys that are in. We still have the six that you have to pick. And same for the European team. They've got their guys picked, and they'll have, which is basically Hovland and Rahm, McIlroy. Who else? Oh, Hatton. Hatton's already automatically on the European team. Going to play in Rome. And so of those six that haven't been picked, I'll ask you first, Frank. Of the six that haven't been picked, Koepka is the one that's being thrown in there as a live tour guy, as a non-PGA. DeChambeau's name was thrown in and out. Certainly it was when he shot 61-58 at a live tour event a couple of weeks ago. But do you think Justin Thomas, Spieth is also on the outside looking in right now, have to be picked? Let's just bring those two guys up. Spieth and Justin Thomas, who are a great pair, great tandem, playing together, Presidents and Ryder Cups. Will those two be picked, do you think?
I don't know. I don't know what's in Zach Johnson's head, okay? But
could you elaborate, Frank?
Yeah, I really don't know.
I don't know a lot.
No, I don't.
Well, who would you pick?
Lucas Glover. I'd pick Glover. I would take Glover, and I'd put Glover with Harmon.
Okay.
I would absolutely.
Big and a little. Yeah, 6'3" and 5'3".
I would pick Spieth. There's no doubt. I mean, I'd pick Spieth.
Yeah.
I think I'd pick Justin Thomas, to be honest. I mean,
even though he hasn't had a good year. Now, you're going to have to pass up some guys, right? Tony Finau, some other guys maybe that might have had wins or better year than Justin. Do you go with the history and say, well, yeah, but every year it's Ryder Cups and Justin comes through and those kind of things? Do you have to bypass some guys to get to him?
My personal opinion, yes, you do. You got to take the guys who are proven in battle, I would think. That's just my opinion.
What is HelloFresh? With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. You skip the trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Fall's right around the corner, folks, and HelloFresh is here to help you plan for the busy season ahead with tasty dishes delivered right to your front door or back door, wherever you tell them to deliver it to. Simply choose your recipes and pick your delivery date, then lay back and enjoy the last days of summer knowing dinner is covered. Parents have enough back-to-school shopping and planning to do, so why don't you let HelloFresh get the groceries and save you some cash with pre-portioned meals delivered right to your door. I got to tell you, folks, I use HelloFresh. They've been a sponsor of ours in the past. They're back again as a beloved sponsor because I love cooking HelloFresh meals. They're fantastic, and they just hit the spot. The portions are great. I love them. They're my favorite. So go to HelloFresh.com/50GTA and use code 50GTA for 50% off plus free shipping. That's 50GTA. That's Golf Talk America, right? 50GTA. Use that promo code and you get 50% off, plus you get free shipping. I love HelloFresh. I use it all the time, and it is the best. Go get you some.
What about Koepka, Steve, when it comes to Koepka? He's earned his right, has he not? You want the best Americans regardless of where they're playing?
Yeah, there's no question. Brooks Koepka needs to be on that team.
Yeah,
I mean, if we want to win,
right? Which kind of
deal? It's just because we do have a lot of first timers, don't we?
Yeah,
I mean, we've got a lot of rookies out there. Brian Harman beat the world. Now I know he's played on a President's Cup, but he hadn't. You know,
no,
he's not a veteran. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have a stellar record. I mean, he may have a winning record, but when you only have a few reps, it's hard to say, you know. I'm serious. I mean,
I'm not laughing at that.
President's Cup team.
My brain just went to maybe we pick somebody who knows how to fight. At wow. start of the show.
Wow.
Never mind.
Really?
My brain just went off on a tangent.
I will say this. Lucas Glover, you got to take your hat off, because his name would not even have been a thought 4 weeks ago.
No.
Right? Nobody would even have considered Lucas Glover being in any of this. And it shows you, which to me is one of the beauties of golf, as opposed to the guaranteed money, blah, blah, blah. You know, all these other sports, you're always kind of there because of who you are. No, we had Lucas Glover literally earned his way into this conversation and probably onto the Ryder Cup team. And he's also earned his way into, what's he won, about $6 million, Frank, in the last 3 or 4 weeks?
Yes, yes.
That nobody saw coming? I mean, it's an amazing story, isn't it?
It's a nice story.
It's a great story,
Frank.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, if I were the captain of the team, and Lucas Glover would be on the team if he qualified for the team. Because this is a putting contest. They're going to set up the course in a way. Well, the Europeans set the course up this time. So it's going to be tight. You're going to have to – ball striking is going to be an issue. He's a good ball striker, really good ball striker. Anyone that's seen him play will tell you, hey, this guy is as good as any in ball striking. But it's a putting contest. Do we want to see this guy melt down and miss a 3-foot putt or a 2-foot putt? I mean, tremendous pressure on these guys. Guys that you wouldn't think that would feel the pressure in a golf exhibition, feel a lot of obligation to the country and to their fellow golfers and on their tours and all that. That hey, you know what? I don't want to be the guy that comes out here and craps in my pants. You look at this happened once before. Hunter Mahan.
Oh yeah.
He was at the top of his game, and he was playing against a guy that won the US Open at Pebble Beach.
Graham McDowell.
And absolutely he was never the same after that.
I mean, I wasn't either. That affected my chipping. That's when my yip started, was watching him yip a chip.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I'm like, I can't do it either. Yeah, that was horrible. So, and you're right, how it affected his mind, right? It affected his career.
It's an away game. I would pick guys out there that are gamers that are great around the greens, pitching, chipping, putting. And Lucas Glover, unfortunately, is not one of those guys. I don't know why. I mean, the European team's talking about, hey, should we bring Sergio? Sergio's record, blah, blah, blah. He's part of the team. I mean, he's pretty far outside the scope of. I mean, that would be pioneering to go with him, or some type of really big. Yeah, I mean, same thing.
The old time guys.
Why are we not talking about Captain America? Why are we not talking about Captain America?
Patrick Reed's a player when it comes to Ryder Cup, baby.
He is, but he's not a popular guy. And so Zach Johnson, right? Zach Johnson's going to have a call. And by the way, people have to realize this is not run by the PGA Tour. It's run by the PGA of America, our Ryder Cup team. So therefore, whatever the PGA Tour might think or who's on the outside, doesn't matter if you're going to pick the best Americans. Now, Zach Johnson was very critical.
It matters. Yeah. The PGA Tour has some influence.
Sure, but I'm saying they don't have the ultimate say in it. It is the PGA of America. But Zach Johnson had been very critical of LIV Tour guys. Now that the supposed merger is back on, I guess it's given him an opening to say, okay, well, I'm not going to go against what I said because now we're all kind of maybe part of the same thing. But the argument certainly has been made. This is the best American team. Who do you have? I don't care if it's Steve Johnson and Frank Bassett, who didn't qualify in the – if they are the best, then put them on the American team. Because we have not won, Frank, since you were what? You were in junior high? Because last time we won in Europe?
That's pretty,
pretty
much,
close.
Pretty close.
Pretty close, right? I mean, it's been forever, the 90s, since we've won on European soil. Zach Johnson's going to feel the pressure. You talk about all these players and putts and what they can do and not do. The captain feels an awful lot of pressure.
Oh, sure. We're going to need an audience with the Pope before we go out to play these matches.
Yes.
We're going to need help.
I'm not afraid to go out on a limb here. And I'm going to have, I've got a member out here waiting for me. I'm not afraid to go out on a limb. So I just want to, plant this seed for you guys. Okay. It's an away game and we want to feature guys that are our heroes. And so I'm requesting right now, Zach Johnson, let's give Hunter Mahan another chance to redeem himself on away soil.
Yeah, sure, Yeah.
We'll pair him with Lucas Glover in the alternate
alternate shot.
We can see
real swing.
Right around turn three, there could the wheels could be falling off. That would be good TV.
No, we'll have Brian Harmon an alternate shot, and what'll happen is somebody will say, "Hell, I'll just hit it." I mean, God, hit the ball, Brian.
He does waggle his ass
just a little bit, yeah. But he's a player.
Hey guys, unfortunately,
okay,
our time
gotta
is
go.
No, we wanted you to go anyway, so yeah, we were about to ask you to leave.
Okay. So if I'm not on probation, I'll talk to you again next week.
You're off probation.
Sounds good. You're off.
you're back on. All right. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
Appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
Steve Bye-bye. Johnson. There he goes. Okay. Well, he does have some hot opinions.
And those opinions are those of Steve Johnson, not of the Golf Talk America network crew,
but
Tim Frank.
I will say this. I will say this, that he brings up Hunter Mahan, obviously not to play, but
That was a joke.
I don't know that. I don't know. Yeah, but I'm saying I don't know that any of these guys have ever felt the same pressure that you feel in a Ryder Cup. And so to say,
well,
you know,
how many
of them
were Walker Cup players?
That's a great example of him of how it kind of collapsed on Hunter Mahan.
Hunter was on the Walker Cup, wasn't he? Yeah.
I don't remember. Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's as a junior.
Spider Miller's team.
Yeah. So I mean, but he was a great player. I mean, he was for a while the only guy or one of the few that made every step of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Remember from year one to like year 10, there was two guys or something, and he was one of them. And now you haven't heard his name in 3 years. So
kind of like when your wife asks for a divorce. When it's over, it's over.
It's kind of scary. But to his point, you know, maybe he's got a point. I think Lucas Glover's on the team. I think he'll get picked. And I think his putter is the reason he's there. Now, Steve said his putter is what could... Now, I mean, the point is valid that if in a Ryder Cup and that kind of pressure and you're trying to represent your country, blah, blah, it's like the Olympics, and you miss a match-winning three-footer, man, it's got to be hard to sleep that night. It's got to be hard. It's not just another tournament, you know? So who among these guys can handle that kind of pressure? And when you bring up Patrick Reed, he can, right? Patrick Reed can handle that pressure. And Jordan and Justin can handle that pressure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if Max Homa can. I don't know that Brian Harmon can. We'll find out. But that's the scary part, because it's going to come to that for a lot of these guys.
Well, Brian Harmon handled it at the Open Championship pretty well.
He did, but that's the first time he really has, right? He's only won, what, four times on tour in 15 years? So he hasn't done a lot. He did it for that one, and Lucas did it one time 12 years ago to win a U.S. Open.
Yeah.
But it didn't set him on fire, right? So I don't know. It's hard to read this stuff, and I'm sure what we're talking about is what Zach and his cohorts are all thinking too, is how do you decide? How Tony Finau is an interesting guy, right? He's not qualified right now. He's not top six, but Tony played really well the last couple of Ryder Cups and President's Cups, but he's not playing all that well. You know, he didn't make it, didn't make it in the 30. It's going to be interesting. By the way, one last thought there, Frank. Tour Championship coming up at East Lake.
Yes.
I've always said this, and I continue to say it, and I think you disagree with me, but I want them to at some point start moving that and not always have it at East Lake. East Lake doesn't do anything for me. It's not a great
Coca-Cola does.
Course that I want to watch. I get it. But AT&T, I mean, there's a lot of big sponsors, and they don't always
Southern
seem to get their
company.
Way. So I would like to see it at cool venues and not East Lake year after year. But that's one thing. Having said that, nobody's listening to me anyway because it stays at East Lake. But having said that, the Tour Championship, it's the have or have nots, right? All of these guys, and we saw the drama of what happened, and it brings up Jordan Spieth again. He did not earn his way into East Lake. He fell backwards into it because he went bogey-bogey on the last two holes on Sunday when he thought he needed at least go par-par, maybe even a birdie in there to make the top 30. And sure enough, he still, air quotes, but kind of lucked his way into the top 30. These guys are guaranteed $500,000. So it was Denny McCarthy that was the last guy kind of standing. Yep. If he would have, parred the last two holes, he would have been in and Spieth would have been out.
Yep.
That's pressure too, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, yeah. Kinda, of course it is.
$500,000 on the line that you may not be thinking, but in the back of your mind, you're kind of like, got to get in there, you know, and I get that. I can finish dead last. Anyway, do you like the format of the Tour Championship? Scotty starts at 10 under and everybody else kind of falls behind him?
I think, no, I don't. But
you don't?
I don't. But, you know, hell, I don't know what you do. I mean.
I like the fact that one guy wins it all, though, right? Wasn't it confusing in the past?
Well, somebody wins the Tour Championship and somebody else wins the FedEx Cup.
FedEx Cup. Yeah, right.
Well, that's what, don't you remember when Justin Rose, was it Justin Rose that won the FedEx Cup, but Tiger Woods won the Tour Championship? Yeah, and Justin Rose said, nobody's going to remember who won the FedEx Cup this year.
Yeah.
That was in 2019. I mean,
he got the big, and his was the bigger trophy and the much bigger check.
Yeah.
But they all remember Tiger, right? Tiger, yeah. Tiger won that, and you're like, because even, I mean, friends of mine were confused by that. They're like, so did Tiger win the, and you're like, no, he didn't win the. He won the Tour Championship event. He didn't win the playoffs, which is contrary to so many other things, right? If you win the NBA championship, you win the playoffs. You win it all. In this case, you win the playoffs, but you don't win that tournament. And so this case, one guy does it all, so at least in that sense. So Scotty starts, for people that aren't really sure about this, there's 30. Scotty starts at 10 under on the scorebook. So his first day, he's right there. I wish I could start at 10 under. And then Hovland is two back, and then Rory's one back, and then it kind of evens out to groups of five, go to four under, three under, and finally the last guys are even par.
That I'm not a fan of that, but I don't know what would work better, because there are arguments on all sides when it comes to that regarding, well, he's the number one player in the world, and he's had the best year, and this and that and that. I don't know. Start at scratch. Yeah. Just all get in there and fight it out.
By the way, I was wrong about that. Tony Finau did qualify. I forgot. I thought he
did qualify for the FedEx Cup.
But he's in the FedEx Cup.
Yeah, and not the Ryder Cup. Yeah.
No, not Ryder Cup. But he is in the 30 here at East Lake. So anyway, it should be, I think, hopefully, a lot of fun. And there's no cut, obviously. There's only 30 guys. Yeah, it will be a muggy one.
There's no, pardon me. We have, we said earlier, the heat here. But also the air quality in Nashville has gone to absolute hell. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, it's awful. We've got
forest fires or something?
I think we're getting smoke and mirrors here.
Some Canadian smoke or something?
Yeah, maybe. Zucchino, stop it. Stop starting those fires.
I'm blowing this way. Hey, did I tell you that I played PGA course last week?
PGA in Dallas, the new one, Frisco?
Yeah, the new facility up in Frisco.
Oh, no, you didn't. Didn't even invite me to come over and play.
So, that's a whole other story. But, I played at the PGA, and they have the East and West, and the East is the Gil Hance design. That's the big boy course. They just played the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship there. Yes. And that's where they're going to have the regular PGA Championship will be there, I think, in 27 is the major will be there. And then they're talking a Ryder Cup, but that may be late 30s, so it's a ways away until they'll play a Ryder Cup there. But it's a tough course. Anyway, it started out pretty good, and everything was fine. It was 110, Frank. 110.
It was 110?
Yeah.
Heat index?
Temperature. No, temperature.
Your temperature in Dallas?
Yes.
What was the heat index?
Like 111. 10. I mean, it doesn't add much. It's really dry.
Yeah.
There's very little humidity.
Well, I thought I was suffering.
But 110 was the actual furnace-like temperature.
Well, that's like a convection oven, you know?
It totally is that we're playing in. And it sucks you. It sucks the
energy.
Life out of you. At about the 12th hole, we're like this going, oh, wow. And so it does throw your game off. And I did not play great, but at some point it's survival, right? You're just trying to, because you're fatigued and your timing's off. So you're missing shots a little bit here and there, and they're kind of spraying. And then you're just kind of going, can I get in? Are we done?
And then you go into the bunker, and then you hit a bunker shot, and the sand blows all over your sweaty body. Yeah, that's always fun. That happened to me yesterday. I was itching all the way home. Could have taken a shower there at my club, but I didn't.
Anyway, it was but it was a good experience. I mean, it was
Who'd you play with?
Probably not to play. Just a couple of friends, a couple of friends of mine that went out and played. It's not a cheap round of golf for those who pay to play. It's about, I'm not really sure it's worth it, about $350.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
It's like $275 just to play. Then you got to get a caddy and a cart.
This is the PGA of America.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Really?
But it's an Omni resort. So they kind of, there you go. So they, now I will say this, the facility is really cool. When you go to the range to hit balls and warm up, you're met with a guy who says, you know, Mr. Bassett, yes, would you like Pro V1s? Would you like Chrome Softs? Or would you like TaylorMade RX5s or whatever? So you get to pick your range ball that you want to hit with.
How many did you put in your bag?
My bag weighed about 300 pounds when I left. And so it's a beautiful facility, right? It's huge. You can hit all over the place. Then you can go over and they have a 18-hole putting green that you can do like little putts all up and down hills and stuff that play a little bit there. And then you can actually, they say, oh, by the way, but go putt here because that's not cut like it is out on the golf course. So, you know, this might be at a 9 and you want to play a 12 like you will when you get on the course. Here's our putting green before you go. So you got to go putt over there a little bit and catch the speed and all. So it's a great facility. I mean, it's just got a little bit of
electric everything. Cart.
Yes, excuse me. Wow.
Choked you up.
Choked me up. I know. Yeah, they had a cart girl going around.
Good. That's good.
Helping out. And they had, there's what do you call them? Hydration stations, if you will, along the way. So there's a couple that you can go. There's coolers all over. And they actually had a guy, you know, an assistant or something who drove around and would bring you the ice towels every now and then. So that, you know, they kind of do everything they can to keep you upright.
Yeah.
So
keep you from dying on the course.
But I mean, I had a friend tell me that he played, you know, and again, it's been hot in Dallas here forever. I mean, we got a heat dome over top of us like we do a lot of summers. I saw in the paper the other day, we've had now, I think we're at somewhere in the 40, 45 days over 100 degrees. We've had like 28 days over 105.
You guys have a lot of asphalt in Dallas too.
We've had a bunch of days where it never got below 85, right? Even at night, and the coolest part is never below. Brutal. So it's just, it's Texas and Arizona, New Mexico, that whole, the Southwest is just.
Well, it's moved. It's kind of shifted over us right now. It's moving over us. So
that's what
we're getting is that heat dome. Anyway, long story short, I'm not playing golf today. They want me to, but I'm not going to. I have too many things to do. So,
well, good. We'll just take a break.
Stay right in front of my refrigerator where the cold water is.
Well, people, kind of what I was saying is that with all that heat and people want to, you know, still play, that there have been people, and I'm not exaggerating, people die. I mean, the heat exhaustion and all that can really, and you don't have to be 85 years old and have it happen. So just be careful out there, is what I'm saying. Wherever you're playing, if it's hot, hot and dry, hot and muggy, doesn't matter. Just be careful. Drink a lot of fluid, but be careful because I've known some people that didn't pass away, but they know people. They're like, oh, yeah, I had three of my friends, two of them ended up in the hospital from playing golf. It's not worth it. So be careful.
Yeah, and you don't know if you get super, super thirsty, it's too late. It's too late. Yeah. Don't wait to get thirsty. Keep drinking water.
So. Yeah, even when you don't think you need it. Okay, there's our little doctor.
There it is. There it is. And the meteorological report today from Tim, the sports guy.
Yeah. Hey, before we go, I want to remind everybody about checking out Invited Clubs because Frank's a member of an Invited Club in the Nashville area. I am here in Dallas, and they're all over the country. Go to invitedclubs.com, and you can find one near you and become a member or check them out and find out because some places like here in Dallas are a dozen invited clubs. A lot of places have more than one. And there's also dinner clubs and restaurants that you can entertain as well and have business meetings there or whatever. So they're all right there under invitedclubs.com. Be sure to check them out. They do a magnificent job and very, very, very friendly people at Invited Clubs. What else, Frank? PXG?
Absolutely.
You still, how's your PXG going? Everything good?
They're doing great. They're doing great. Tweaked my putter a little bit and it's, what Steve was talking about is exactly, I didn't want to get into it then, but what I did is we changed some weight around in it a little bit, and that stabilization of that club face is great, and I'm almost making putts now.
Your PXG putter.
I love my – no, I'm so making putts.
Can't blame the putter.
My PXG clubs, new shaft in my driver. We did some tweaking and changed that, and I am striping it. I'm really, really hitting the ball really well. So I've got to get my course management issues down, you know. You don't go for it every time, Frank, you know?
I don't know.
You know,
you would think after this time we would have learned so much, right? But you just find yourself doing a lot of the same things going, really? I've been playing golf for 50 years. I haven't figured this one out yet.
That makes me so mad at myself when I know, you know what? I have this downhill side hill lie, and I'm on a par five, and I go, let's pull out the old 3-wood or 4-wood and just rip it. That's when you come over the top of it, smother it.
Yeah.
You know, and then dead hook it out of bounds. Okay, great. And you're down there, you know, 260 already. Okay, really smart, you know.
What happens is once in a while, we hackers can hit a really nice shot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that becomes your, that's your bar.
Your standard,
you're
at, right? Yeah.
You're like, oh, I can do that. See, I did that back in 87. Remember that shot? I can do it again.
With a 30-mile-an-hour like, yeah. wind behind me. Yeah,
no, you can't. That. No, you can't. Why do you think you can?
God, but course management's so important. We do. God almighty. Yeah. It really is.
I know.
Anyway, all right. Well, let's get out of here and...
We should be done.
Yeah.
That should do it. Everybody, play safe, but get out and play some golf if you can. And again, thanks each and every one of you for joining us. It's the best podcast in the world right here at Golf Talk America, and we appreciate when you do listen in. Tell your friends about it and continue to listen. We appreciate it. For Steve Johnson and Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks again for being with us. Remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.